All right, well, so let's begin. So we left off, we're on in the packet, page Membov. Page Membov, remember the pages this time are double-sided. Start with the side that says page 1, and go to page Membov, right by paragraph Dalit. So just a little bit of a review. So remember again, the Mesias Yisharim speaking in the Shar HaZihirus, speaking in this stage of contemplation and paying attention to the nature and quality of life. So the Mesias Yisharim is trying to teach us how to get people to do this. So he says that, so he explained that it depends who you're talking to. He says if you're talking to what he called the Shlemi Hadas, the individuals who are of a higher standing, so he says just explaining to them that ultimately they will be able to lead a more complete life is in and of itself the greatest motivation. Because for the Shlemi Hadas, what they want more than anything is to know that their life will be complete. And the fear that maybe life won't be complete is in and of itself the great page Membov, the greatest motivation to act. On the other hand, said Mesias Yisharim, for what he called the Pichusei Hadas, those of a little bit of a lower standing. So with those, he explained that what motivates them to act. What motivates them to act is the fact that they don't want to be in a situation where they feel someone else has more. So if that's true in Olam Hazeh, all the more so in Olam Haba. So if he explains to them that if they don't get their act together and engage in this introspection, someone is going to go ahead and have a larger chilek in Olam Haba, that will motivate them to act and to get their life in order. Again, the Mesias Yisharim is not advocating for that approach. What he's trying to say is, at the end of the day, the most important thing is to get people engaged in contemplation, to get people engaged in introspection, to get people to figure out what is the Tov HaAmiti, what is the ultimate good they are working towards, what actions will get me there, what actions will derail me from that, and however you get a person to get to do that, that's what has to be done. But now look at Dalit. He says, Ach, ha'ara l'chol amon. But at the end of the day, says Mesias Yisharim, the one mindset that gets everyone to engage in the process of contemplation and introspection, hu be'inyan haschar ha'onesh atzman, comes down to the basic system of reward and punishment. Bir'os omek hadin ad heichan magia. When a person realizes how far the depths of divine judgment reaches, asher be'emes ra'ui lehizdazea ulehischaret tamid, that a person has to always, his dazea literally means, is the lash up? That a person, his dazea, a person literally should quake, and to be constantly afraid. Because at the end of the day, who will be able to really be righteous in front of God? And ultimately, because at the end of the day, HaKadosh Baruch Hu judges us for everything in life, big and small. And so to the rabbi said, according to Gemara Maseches Chagiga, Umagid la'adam ma'asecho, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, after 120, goes over with us all of our conversations. Afilu, the Gemara says, Afilu, sicha kala, Shebein ish leishto, even a small conversation between a man and his wife, magidim lo laadam b'shas hadin. Ultimately, it's held. Kodesh Baruch Hu reviews with us at the time of divine judgment. Naturally, the way the Gemara actually uses that is that even the conversations that a husband has with his wife at the most intimate of moments, even those conversations, HaKadosh Baruch Hu obviously hears, and even those conversations, HaKadosh Baruch Hu goes over with us after 120 at the time of our divine judgment. He says, "Od amru usvivav nisara meod melamed shaKadosh Baruch Hu medaktik im chasidim kichut hasara." There is this idea, Rabbi Osa, which is a very scary concept, that the closer one is to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the more exacting God is in his divine judgment of that individual. So the way the Gemara uses this lashon is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is medakdek, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is meticulous with the righteous, kichot ha-sa'ara, like a hair's breadth. That if the tzaddik deviates even a little bit, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is very medakdek with the tzaddik. So we'll say, what is Mr. Sharm saying? He's saying, at the end of the day, our goal is to get people to think about the direction of our life. That's our goal. Each and every one of us has to contemplate what, and we keep on being a little bit repetitive, but that's the issue. So what is the Tov HaAmiti? What is the ultimate good that I am working towards? That's part one. Part two, what are the actions that will get me there? Part three, what are the actions that will derail me from that? Part four, how do I stop doing the negative actions? And part five, how do I refine the positive actions? So says Maseiach Yesharim, most people need a catalyst for action. So he went over the two catalysts, either again because you want to be complete, or B, because you don't want somebody else to be better than you. But he says, you know what, at the end of the day, what is the greatest catalyst for action? Judgment. At the end of the day, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to hold us accountable for how we live. Unless you think, and this is very strong, that God will give us a pass on the little things, it doesn't work that way. There is no divine pass for anything. Anything and everything we do in this world, even the smallest conversation we have with our wife, ultimately, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, after 120, we have to give din v'chashbon for it. He goes on. Now he gives a couple of examples of this concept of tzaddikim, medaktikim aleim kechut ha-sa'ara. This idea that the righteous are held accountable even for the smallest hair's breadth of violation, even for things that would otherwise not seem all that egregious, but the righteous are held to a higher standard. So he gives examples. Avraham. What happened to Avraham Avinu? Who Avraham? Ha'ol v'kono. This is Avraham who's so beloved to Hashem. Ad shehichsiv ach shehichtiv alov Avraham ohavi. Until literally the Navi calls Avraham, Avram, the one who loves me. What, Avram's the only one who loves God, no one else loves God? No, but that idea that Avram had this personality as a lover of Hashem. So what happened? Lo palat min adin mitnei dvarim kalim shlo diktek poem. But yet we see that Avraham was not saved from divine judgment, even for small violations. For example, al sha'amar bama eida. So remember, Avraham Avinu asks HaKadosh Baruch Hu, God promises him, right? Good. God promises him that he's going to have children and he's going to inherit the land. And so Avraham Avinu says to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, very simple idea. Bama eida ki irashena. How do I know? How do I know? Right? It's not a crazy question, I will say. Avraham Avinu has followed everything that God has asked to the T. He did Lech Lecha. He went down to Mitzrayim in the midst of Egypt. He went down to Mitzrayim in the midst of famine. Anything that God wants, he does. Simple question. God gives him this awesome promise of a land, of offspring, and all he asks is, just can you give me a sign? Can you give me an assurance? How will I know? Amar Lo HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Chayecha Yadoa Teida Ki Ger Yiyazaracha. Now, the Medrash understands that the punishment for Avraham Avinu asking for a sign was Egyptian servitude. His children will be sent to Mitzrayim for servitude. That was the punishment for asking for a sign. How does the Medrash link those two together? Because the Torah uses the same exact lashon. Avram says, "Bama eida, bama. How will I do? How will I know?" And the lashon of Shibun Mitzrayim is Yadoa Teida. You asked, Bama Eida, how will I know? Yadoa Teida. You know what you should know? Kigeri Azarach Baris Lolahem. That your children will be afflicted in a land that is not theirs. Va'al Shakaras Brisim Avimelech Pelot Sivu Shomakom. And the fact that Avraham Avinu made a treaty with Avimelech without the consent or approval from God. That was the treaty that's made actually right at the end of Parshas Vayera. I think it's at the end of Parshas Vayera. Makes it true. Parshas Vayera? Balkore. Right. Right. Right after. Right. Okay, so before Vayera. No. Okay. It says Vayera. Okay, I should look at the footnotes. Okay, good. All right. So he makes a bris with Avimelech, right? Now this was the bris where ultimately Avimelech comes with Pichol, Tzar Tzvah, he comes with his general, and they make a bris. They make a treaty. It's essentially a non-aggression treaty. So the Gemara says, so the Mises Sharam says that Avraham Avinu made this treaty without the acquiescence of God, without consulting God. So that was the next page, Mem Zayin. God says to Avraham Avinu, Chayecha, by your life, and Masha besimchas banecha shiva doros. So this treaty was li linini ulenechdi. This was a three-generation treaty with Abimelech. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to Avraham Avinu, oh, thank you very much. So Avraham Avinu went ahead and made this treaty with Abimelech. So what was the issue over here? That Avraham Avinu signed a non-aggression treaty with Abimelech regarding Eretz Canaan. Now the truth is, Eretz Canaan was not Avraham Avinu's to make treaties about. HaKadosh Baruch Hu got very upset about this, and therefore, the actualization of my promise with you will be delayed for seven generations. So we'll say, what is the Mesiyas Yisharim showing? He's just highlighting this idea that there is din v'cheshbon for everything. He says, you know, we live our lives so often assuming that there won't be ramifications, that there will not, that there won't be repercussions for the things that we do. He's just pointing out that there are repercussions for everything. And the truth is, for the tzaddik, there are repercussions even for what would seemingly be the smallest infractions. Yaakov, he gives another example. What happened to Yaakov Avinu? Al shechora apo b'rochel. Yaakov got angry at Rachel. Sha'amra lo, havali banim. So remember, Rachel Imenu says to Yaakov, you know, in a very impassioned plea, give me children. She's very upset. Her children, her sister's having children. The maidservant's having children. She's not having children. Amru b'medrash, zeloshonam. Amru l'akadosh baruch hu, kach onim es hamu'ukos. So remember, Yaakov Avinu responds in a very sharp way. Right? Yaakov Avinu responds that... Hatachas Elokim ani, right? Am I God? Am I not? Kimani simech a pre-batin, right? Have I withheld children from you? See, he responds to her in a very sharp way. So the Medrash takes Yaakov Avinu to task, and the Medrash says to Yaakov, Kach onim es hamukos, is that how you respond to barren women? Meaning Rachel Imenu was saying something to you out of pain, out of desperation, and that's how you respond. Chayecha shebanecha omdim lifnei bina. By your life, you will see that your children will stand before her children. Now, of course, they're all Yaakov's children, but the point over here is the children that you've had until now, you will see will be subservient, will stand before her children, which of course is a reference to the fact that all of the brothers bowed down before Yosef. And because according to the Medrash, he hid Dina in a box when coming to meet Esav, in order that Esav would not take her as a wife. Even though his intent was certainly good, so but because he withheld the potential chesed from his brother, the Medrash says, God says to him, you did not want to marry her off to someone who was circumcised. She'll marry an orel. You didn't want to marry her off in a permitted fashion. She'll be married to someone in a prohibited fashion. A reference to the episode of the abduction of and rape of Tamar by Shechem ben Hamor. So I will say, the theme over here is the basic idea that he's trying to espouse, which is that if you want to motivate people, and we're not finished with the examples, we'll just finish them for today, but if you want to motivate people ultimately to adopt this midah of zihirus, to adopt this midah of life contemplation, of a life introspection, of figuring out the tov ha'amiti, the greatest motivation for that is that there is din v'cheshbon. There is a divine accounting for every single act big and small. And the greater you are in life, the more exacting HaKadosh Baruch Hu is from you. That in and of itself is the greatest motivation to engage and to adopt this midah of Zihirus. Because it's only once you live life through the lens of Zihirus, you are careful with every single thing that you do, and ultimately ensure that not just your big life plan is on track, but that each and every one of your actions is appropriately measured as well, and that ultimately is the recipe for success for divine judgment after 120. All right, we'll stop over here. We'll pick up again. We're not finished with the examples, so we have to go through Yosef and a few others, but for today we'll stop.